want to introduce Mark Pocan, so we're going to let him come up here by himself. There's been a fight broken out up here. How good can it be but to have Mark Pocan representing us in the Congress of the United States? What a champion he is in every cause.
Well, hello, Fighting Bob Fest. It is great to be here with you. First of all, thank you to Ed Garvey and Matt Rothschild and Ruth Conniff, Dave Zweifel, John Nichols, and everyone who puts this together every year. Thank you from everyone in this room once again for a great Fighting Bob Fest. Are my friends from labor and the environmental community in the house? Are my friends who care about social justice and equality in the house? Are my friends who care about peace in the house? Are my friends from the Tea Party in the house? All right, I was just making sure you're actually listening. I mean, we all may have a beer today, or a juice, or a soda, tap water, coffee. But there will be no tea drinking today in the exposition hall while Fighting Bob is in the house. I am extremely proud to be our newest member of the House of Representatives from Wisconsin, and thank you to everyone who helped me get there. And as I report from our nation's capital, I could easily report what you already know. Washington is broken. But you don't need me to state the obvious. I'm not here to gripe about Washington today. There are plenty of people who do that every single day. But I want to talk about how we can change Washington, really change Washington, and how we have to change about how we talk about our vision for America. It's no longer okay just to say, hey, we're not those guys. We have to show that we're better, and we are better. And we have to make a compelling case so that we can convince Democrats, independents, Greens, and others that they want to come out and vote for us and put our ideas into place. I would like to talk about three areas that I think we can show the American people that we are serious about fighting for them and that we deserve to be in charge of the country. First, we have to fight for our democracy. We have to fight for meaningful campaign finance reform, and nothing could be higher on that list than getting rid of the Citizens United decision. Corporations are not people, and money is not free speech. And that is exactly what the constitutional amendment that Representative Rick Nolan from Minnesota and I have introduced in the House of Representatives. We're working with grassroots activists across the country who are putting this on local referendum and ballots to try to show there's grassroots support, that only people are people, and we have to get our electoral system back from the special interests that dominate and shape it every day. And we also have to fight for the right to vote for every single person. Doesn't matter where you live or who you vote for, but after the Supreme Court decision striking down Section 5, it was a blow to our democracy. As of a couple months ago, there were over 80 bills in over 30 states trying to limit people's access to the ballot. And we can fight this state by state, but we also have to fight it at the federal level. And that's why Representative Keith Ellison from Minnesota and I have introduced our right to vote constitutional amendment. Believe it or not, but right now, there is no explicit right to vote in our Constitution. It's certainly implied. There are amendments that provide against discrimination, but there is no explicit right. And because we don't have that explicit right, we have to go into the states and someone has to prove that they've been harmed by a voting law change, rather than just the opposite, where a state would have to prove they're not harming someone from having access to the ballot. That right to vote is our great equalizer. The one thing that my brother and I have in common with the Koch brothers is that we have a single right to vote for each of us. And we have to act to make sure that we have that equal right to vote for everyone, and there's not a real democracy without it. In addition to fighting for our democracy, we have to fight for a progressive economic future for every single person. What we have to do is we have to grow the middle class and help those striving to be in the middle class. And I have 7 suggestions in this area. First of all, we have to address issues around worker pay. No one should work full-time and only earn $15,000 a year at 7 1/4 an hour. You shouldn't have to work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, often without benefits, while corporate profits are soaring. In the last 45 years, 90% of America's average increase in wages increased by $59. For the top 1% of the top 1%, that average was $18.4 million. We must support low-wage workers. We must support our nation's labor unions. We must support a living wage. It's time to raise the minimum wage, and that time is now. And there is no reason why every working man and every working woman shouldn't receive the same levels of pay. It's time that a woman works at a dollar for every dollar a man works for, and we must work for full pay equity. As Scott Ross so eloquently laid out this morning, no one should be deterred from a higher education simply because they cannot afford it. We must address rising higher education costs. We must address the interest rates that students pay in order to get loans. But we also have to address the previously unaddressed 40 million Americans who have out-of-control student debt, who have current student loans, and need to be able to refinance those loans at the lowest possible rates so we can put the money back into the economy and help us grow. And that's the bill that I've introduced and we're going to start putting out next week in Washington. Third, we have to invest in our country, and the most sure way of doing that is to invest in our roads, our bridges, our schools, and our crumbling infrastructure. Let's rebuild America and put people back to work right now. Fourth, let's help implement the Affordable Care Act. Let's improve it where it needs to be improved. But let's also go one step farther where the Progressive Caucus in Congress has recommended, and let's add a public option so that no one doesn't have access to health insurance in this country. Fifth, we've passed bad trade deal after bad trade deal in this country, and now we have the mother of all trade deals, NAFTA on steroids, the Trans-Pacific Partnership before us. Now, I'm already fighting this deal. I've led our freshman class with a letter that 36 of us have signed in our freshman class talking directly about trying to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But we need to stop fighting for these so-called free trade deals and start fighting for fair trade deals, from food safety to the environment to labor laws to our economy. There are plenty of reasons to stop the TPP, and I hope you'll join me in fighting that every minute along the way. Sixth, the only discussion that we should have on the table regarding Social Security and Medicare is how do you strengthen those programs. I grew up in a lower middle class family. My mother is 84 years old. She has run through most of her savings, and she gets $1,101 every single month of Social Security. To try to balance the budget on the backs of people like my mother and the millions of seniors like her across the country is simply wrong. We have to stand up. No Democrat should support any cuts to Social Security or Medicare. Absolutely no one. And finally, in my economic agenda, let's address our nation's tax system. let me tell you that corporations in Washington, D.C. have some of the best lobbyists in the nation. There are tax breaks for big gas and big oil. There are tax breaks for corporate jets. There are tax breaks so you can send jobs overseas. And for that matter, way too many corporations don't even pay taxes because they hide their profits overseas. Right now, there is a five-story building in the Cayman Islands that is the home to 18,000 corporations. Hiding their profits and not paying their fair share. Enough is enough. We need to get rid of those special interest tax breaks and let's tax investments like regular income. It's time to change and make sure we get a fair deal for every single person. And while we're fighting for our democracy and for a progressive economic future, there's finally one more thing I think we need to stand for, and that's to stand for peace. We are war weary. We are tired of Iraq and Afghanistan. We are tired of a perpetual state of war. I am proud that President Barack Obama has done so much in so many areas. He's done so very much to bring racial equality to this country. As a gay American, there's no president who has done more to stand for non-discrimination for every gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender person. The Affordable Care Act is a huge step forward in a country that's avoided a real discussion about health care for way too long. And he has saved us from the brink of bankruptcy after the Bush presidency. But when it comes to the question of our national security interests in Syria, Mr. President, I am sorry, but I am not there. We are tired of war after war. The playbook has to have more than one page when that page only says military action. And we are not the only country that can police the world. The use of chemical weapons is reprehensible. The international community, preferably through the United Nations, must discuss and address this, but that does not equate to the only option being a U.S.-dominated military strike. We've ended the chapters on Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's not open a new one in Syria. So I want people in this room to know, I'm hearing from you, my friends, loud and clear. I agree, and I will not support a military strike in Syria. Thank you. That is my plan. Let's be leaders on restoring democracy. Let's promote a progressive economy with opportunity for everyone. And let's begin a period where war is only discussed in our history books and not on our daily news. For those reasons, people will support us, give us the chance to take back our country, and we can actually have a fair, more fair democracy for every single person. Are you with me? Are you ready to fight for our democracy? Will you help create an economy for every single person? Will you loudly and proudly stand up to another military response or another war? I knew this wasn't the Tea Party ad. I knew. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. Have a great Fighting Bob Fest. Thank you.
I kind of like him. Matt Rothschild is here for another introduction. Matt?
Love that, Mark Pocan.